The following is an encore presentation of Car Talk.
What does this encore presentation mean?
Well, it's a polite way of saying we're taking the week off and playing a tape.
I gotcha.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Auto Musicology here at Car Talk Plaza.
Exactly, the Department of Auto Musicology, and we have here, for those aspiring, young or old, aspiring can be anything, musicians.
Usually it's expiring for the old.
If you would like to learn to sing the blues.
Uh-huh.
We have here from Memphis Earlene Gray, with help from Uncle Plunky, whoever the heck they are.
Uh-huh.
Some rules.
Okay.
The blues, right? Okay. Most blues songs begin with the words, woke up this morning. So you can't go wrong. You just do that. Just start like
okay,
that.
Okay, so I'll write that down?
Yeah. Another good start is, I got a good woman, but you can't say I got a good woman unless something nasty comes right after it. Like, I got a good woman with the meanest dog in town. You know,
something
like that. And then from then on, it says, blues are simple. After you got the first line right, you repeat it, and then you find something that sort of rhymes. And here's an example. Got a good woman with the meanest dog in town. He got teeth like Margaret Thatcher, and he weighs 500 pounds. I love it. Blues cars are Chevys and Cadillacs.
Yes, I would agree.
Huh?
Yeah. You ain't taking no blues if you're driving an AMC.
Or an Acura.
Right.
I mean, yeah, an Acura ain't no, or a Bimmer.
Right.
Other acceptable blues transportation is a Greyhound bus or a southbound train. It's got to be a southbound train. The following colors should not be alluded to in the blues. Beige and mauve. you can't wear anything that's beige or mauve. You have the right to sing the blues if, A, your first name is like a southern state, like Georgia.
Right.
Then you can sing the blues. B, you're blind. If you ever shot a man in Memphis, then you can sing the blues. You cannot sing the blues if, A, you were once blind, but now you can see.
No.
That's
that would
out.
Disqualify you immediately.
You're disqualified. Or you have a trust fund. Okay, some blues names that are acceptable for women are Sadie, Big Mama, and Bessie. See, you can just see it all happening, man. I see it.
I like that name for myself, Big Mama Ray.
Big Mama Ray. Bessie Ray is good. Persons with names like Sierra or Sequoia will not be permitted to sing the blues no matter how many men they shoot in Memphis. I love it. Well, thanks for that. And the Department of Auto Musicology is forever indebted to you for this contribution.
And this will go right into the archives,
it
I'm sure.
Certainly
if you want
will.
To talk to us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Larry from Americus, Georgia.
Americus.
Have you ever been there?
I've been to Georgia.
My brother has spent a lot of time in Jessup.
Well, we're over in southwest Georgia.
South? Oh, yeah, right on the California border.
That's right.
So what's going on, Larry?
I've got a 93 Dodge Caravan, and I'm getting intermittent vibration, and it seems to do more in the 35 to 40 mile an hour range.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then also, if I'm going up a hill, I get a vibration. And the other thing I've got going on is that if I make a left turn, it goes clunk.
Oh.
But now if I make a right turn, it goes clunk.
What kind of a vibration? Is it through the steering wheel? Do you feel the whole car vibrating?
It kind of like the whole car vibrating.
Okay, this thing must have 130,000 miles on it.
Yeah, it's got about 110, I think.
That's close enough. Well, it's Celsius.
These are the Celsius miles I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. So the whole car vibrates at a given speed.
Mm-hmm. Now, on occasion, even at a higher speed, it'll do a vibration, but it's not as noticeable as it is on that 35 to 40.
Well, I mean, one thing that could explain both of those symptoms is bad CV joints.
Well, I had that checked out, and they said they were okay.
I knew you were
don't like it. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Well, I'm trying to meld the two symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So we got
to
go with
Well, I was leaning toward a bad ball joint. The thing has the right number of miles on it to have a bad ball joint.
Mm-hmm. I could
we replace
that
a lot
too.
Of ball joints in these, so it certainly could be that. Or it could be the fact that it's the one clunk going one way and a clunk going the other way.
Yeah,
I got to ask a question, boy. If the answer to this is yes, you're gonna blow your socks off. Do you ever have to add transmission fluid to it?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay.
Transmission fluid.
It was just a complete.
Do you think it could be in a transmission?
Oh, you sure could. I mean, this is at the age where just about everything could be wrong with it.
Yeah.
It could be, but I'm more leaning toward a bad motor mount.
Yeah.
Or a loose subframe.
Ooh.
There is a cradle that holds the whole drivetrain, the engine, transmission, everything to the underside of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not obvious to spot any problems with this. We've seen some of these cracked because people have hit things with them, but we've also seen them come loose, and it'll cause the whole engine transmission business to shift around, such that when you make turns, you'll get a clunk in one direction and a clunk in the other direction when you go the other way,
mm-hmm.
and it could cause your vibration too. So I would take it. It isn't a CV joint. And I would go back, and I'm sure that when they were checking the CV joints, they checked the ball joints, but ask them to check them again, and then ask them to check the subframe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, vibrations at any speed are always possibly very dangerous.
Right.
Especially with a million.
I don't think there's anything life. If the ball joints are okay, I don't think there's anything life-threatening going on.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes it, does it make it feel any better at all?
No. Larry, have it checked out soon, and good luck.
Okay, well, I thank you. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gail from South Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Gail from where?
South Philadelphia.
South of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, not South Philadelphia, but south of.
Well, no, South Philadelphia.
South Philadelphia.
Same as Bill Cosby.
Yes, exactly. He went to Temple University here.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. Which one is Click and which one's Quack?
Yes. So what can we do for you?
The guy on the right is Click.
Oh, okay, I thought so. Okay, I have a little problem here in Philadelphia. I feel like I'm sort of a fugitive of sorts here. My friends Jonathan and David told me to call you and that you might be able to help. Okay, mm-hmm. I drive a teal, 1991 Saturn, which you'll need to know later, okay?
1991 Saturn.
Yes. And, okay, I take a bridge to work every day, and they charge $2 to get across this bridge. Okay, that's a little pricey, but I have to take it. So I have my $2 ready, and I'm waiting in a tow line that's 15 cars long or something. And at the last minute, I realize that I'm in a coins-only lane, and there's no way to get across the traffic.
And you start shredding the dollars, right?
Exactly. I had no choice of what to do. With this short notice, I had no way of pulling this kind of cash together, so I realized that it was also a tow lane where one of those arm things comes down, so it's not like I can just go through it.
Ah, so you're going to have to run the rapids, as they say.
Exactly.
Shoot the rapids.
Exactly.
When the guy in front of you, the other guy's green light.
Yeah.
So I waited until the guy in front of me threw in his, 300 quarters or whatever, and when that arm thing went up,
I floored it.
I went through it. Buzzers went off. There was mayhem everywhere.
Did you make it?
No one followed me, though.
You made it under, though.
I was very lucky. I don't know how I did it, but I made it under.
Well, you've obviously discovered one of the best kept secrets in the world. Who was there to chase you?
Nobody.
Nobody.
No,
of course not.
My question is, do they take a picture of my license plate? Is there some way that I could, send the $2 in? Because I don't want them to send something to my house because my husband's going to be so mad.
So you have a guilty conscience about this.
I really do, but I don't want to get caught in the I'm honest, and then they're going to charge me $40 for doing this.
Right. You may, in fact, be opening a Pandora's box by confessing to the crime.
Exactly.
You may be subjecting yourself to a toll evader's fine.
Right.
So they'll take the $2 from you, and then they'll come to your house and arrest you. Here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you really feel some compunction to pay up, if the toll is $2, the next time you get in line, and for the next 8 times you get in line, throw nine quarters in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It will never penalize you. It'll never not send the gate up. It'll figure you're another stoop that just put in too much money.
Right.
The gate will go up, and within 2 months you will have satisfied your conscience. You'll have satisfied the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, will they come get me? Is there any way they can get my address for my license plate?
What bridge is it? We can find out.
It's called the Betsy Ross Bridge.
It's 95. Okay. Well, we are trying to reach the Pennsylvania Transportation Authority.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Was it Delaware?
Oh, no. Pennsylvania. Coming from New Jersey into Pennsylvania.
Into Pennsylvania. So the bridge is actually in Pennsylvania.
From New Jersey to Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. No. It's in New Jersey.
It's a bridge over between the two states.
Oh, so both states will be after you.
Oh, it's the federal government then. It's a federal job.
It's a federal offense.
So I don't know.
Okay, it seems to be run by the Delaware Port Authority.
Okay.
I don't know why.
The Delaware, because it's over the Delaware River, maybe.
We have him on the phone? You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
You're not
going to
believe
me?
This.
Hold on a minute. We're not giving him your name.
Okay.
But evidently, Doug and Ken have just somehow gotten a hold of who? Dawn, somebody who's the bridge manager.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Gail. Gail,
oh, this is cruel.
Oh, my goodness. I really was ready to pay the $2, and I didn't
Yeah, sure.
Gail, we chased you for 4 miles. Stop.
No, wait a minute. Dawn, who are you really, Dawn?
I'm the bridge manager at the Betsy Ross Bridge.
You really are?
I really am.
Oh,
my God. If we don't get this $2 fast, we might have to close this bridge up.
Oh, my God.
No, but for other people who might want to try what Gail did, do you take pictures?
We do surveillance of the toll plaza. Do we take specific pictures? I am not at liberty to tell you.
Not at liberty to tell us. But
that's right.
But the truth is that you could probably get through.
If that gate came down on Gail's car, Lord knows the destruction it would have caused.
Oh, no.
No, actually, the gates are made of breakaway wood. We wouldn't want to damage anyone's car.
Mm-hmm.
I would not encourage anyone to try to do that. We do patrol our plaza with our own police force, and we do pursue toll evaders. And just for your information, the toll evasion fine is not $40, but more like $200.
Oh, Gail. Gail, you're going to the slammer.
Now, look, oh, my gosh.
I don't think Gail wants to get herself in trouble.
No.
So, no, and Gail probably doesn't want Dawn to know even her last name.
No, of course not.
Right?
But look, how about this, Dawn? If Gail sends the money to us and we send it to you anonymously in the name of Gail, Gail Anonymous, then she'll be off the hook, right? And you won't know who she is and she will not incriminate herself. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good to me, but Gail is not on my good side to begin with for calling my bridge toll a little pricey.
No! I mean, that's a lot.
How long a bridge is it, Dawn?
Day.
How long is this bridge?
Try New York bridges. $7 a shot.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
This bridge is, how long is it, Dawn? I mean, it's, you know,
are there any trolls underneath the bridge?
It's 1.75 miles over the river. But if you don't use it, Gail, how are you going to get back into Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Maybe she doesn't want it.
Why do you have to have a coins-only lane?
Well, we do have some to service patrons who have a commutation sticker on their window.
I don't think they're marked very well, Dawn, because I didn't see it until the last minute.
Feisty for a lawbreaker, isn't she?
Yeah. I mean, hey, Gail.
Yes.
Cool it up. I got to give me a name.
And by the way, Gail, there is no statute of limitations on this. We can find you.
Hey, Dawn, thanks a lot for letting us find you. I don't know how we found you, but it's good to know.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward for that $2 to arrive in the mail.
All right, you will get it. Don't worry.
Oh, definitely.
And if you don't get it, chase us for it, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay.
Make sure you send us the money.
Yeah, you don't think we're going to pay this $2, do you? And in fact, you might want to send in extra in case, you know, there's a penalty or anything.
An extra $200.
Yeah, yeah, postage and handling and all that. It might be like $22.50. Yeah.
And you might want to include a little something to make sure we don't divulge your last name.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. Baked goods are always good.
See you, Gail.
Hey, Gail, you're a good sport.
Thanks.
You were a little feisty with the guy, though.
Well, he was being mean.
Well, I think $2 is actually pretty reasonable for a bridge. I mean, bridges are hard to build.
Yeah,
how do they build bridges? You have land on one side, land on the other side, and water in the middle.
Batman, you know the thing he shoots across?
Oh, that's right. So I guess $2 isn't bad, but...
It's not bad because the alternative is to be in New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
So.
There you go. So.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Gail.
Thanks a lot.
And carry some quarters, will you?
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
That was good.
How did you do that, Ken?
How did you find him? Very good. That's very good. Boy, we have a crack staff here.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I will admit that I was quite impressed by that, the alacrity with which that whole process ensued. I mean, we got the call from Gail right away. Ken must have evaded the toll on this bridge once himself. He knew exactly what it was.
Don Piccolo by his first name right away.
All right, look, Tommy, I'm not going to ask you if you remember last week's puzzle. Good. Instead, I'm going to ask you a much easier question.
Yeah.
Compare and contrast the economic policies of King George III and King Louis XV paying special attention to physiocracy as a reaction to 17th century mercantilism. Get right on that, will you? We'll be back in a minute.
I love it.
When I go on the road, I go fast, I go slow. It gets cold, don't you know? I won't get home for this year. Back and forth, up and down, coming out, going round, making up, coming down. I won't get home.
And even though earplug stocks go through the roof whenever Wall Street hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and some interesting mail from you guys, courtesy of my brother.
This is really good. This is from James Horn. We don't know where he's from. Just you have to visualize this. I went to a junkyard one sunny Saturday morning. Isolated in the middle of the junkyard was a single car with the hood removed, exposing the engine. Along came a large yellow front-end loader. It stopped in front of the car, and the driver, let's call him Ted, climbed out of the front-end loader. Ted wrapped a heavy chain around the engine and tied the other end of the chain to the bucket, which was positioned above the engine. You got it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Ted climbs back into the front-end loader, raises the bucket, which in turn lifts the car by the engine, so it's now at a 45-degree angle to the ground. Got it?
Got it.
Ted leaves the front-end loader, gets an acetylene cutting torch, lights it, walks calmly under the car engine, and using the cutting torch, cuts the motor mounts in a spectacular shower of sparks.
Yes, indeed.
Are you with it now? He's underneath the car, which is being held up by a chain attached to the engine.
I can see how he's disconnecting
the engine.
I can see how this plays out. It sounds perfectly logical to me.
When the last motor mount is cut, the car comes crashing to the ground.
Around Ted.
Ted is now standing in the engine compartment, and the engine is suspended above him by the chain on the front end loader's bucket.
So the engine is looming above
him. Looming above him. The car fell down, but where was he standing? Right in the engine compartment.
Like the sword of Damocles above his head.
Ted turns off the torch, climbs out of the engine compartment, and drives away in the front end loader with the engine swinging beneath the bucket. Now that's how you remove an engine. Holy cow. Well, I mean, how did he do it the first time? You had to go under there and you say, let's see, if I just stand right here.
you know what it's called?
When the
faith.
It's faith or real utter stupidity.
No, it's faith. And Ted must derive a certain job satisfaction.
Nice going, Ted.
Can I borrow your car today?
No.
If you have any amusing news for my brother or anything that you think might amuse him. Which is just about anything. Send it to him at the following address: Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238. Or, of course, you can email him from cartalk.com. If you have something more pressing, like a car problem, you can call us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Mm-hmm. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
Elaine.
That's close enough, but...
Elaine from...
Clifton, New Jersey.
Clifton, New Jersey. Elaine.
Got it.
Yeah, what kind of a car do you have, Lady Elaine?
I have a 97 Buick LeSabre.
Practically brand new.
Well, I've had this problem from day one. And I've had it to a few dealers.
Yeah.
And they seem to think it's the design of the car, although my friends don't even want to come in my car because it's so hot, they can't stand it.
Really?
Yeah.
And you got the, they all do that answer from the dealers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does that with everything.
So what's the deal? What do you mean the car is so hot?
Well, there seems to be some kind of heat emanating from the dashboard, and I felt a little on the side door. There's a vent on the door,
yeah.
And there's a vent on the upper left. And this is with no fan on, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those hot days we had, it was like 90 out. Well, my car was 110 inside. Because they told me, get a little thermometer, because I took it back 2-3 times and they didn't believe me. And they said, get a little thermometer. And when I told them that, they didn't believe me again. So I'm at my wit's end and my warranty's running out because I almost have 36,000 now.
Yeah, no, your warranty's not running out because you've already been to him.
Oh, I've been
many times. So your warranty's good forever until they fix it now.
Oh, well, they don't think there's a problem.
But does this car have air conditioning?
Yes.
When you have the air conditioning on, you don't have this problem.
The air works, and even though the air is very cold,
yeah,
that heat is still coming in, and it can't...
So it's mixing with the cold air, and the air coming out of a couple of vents is not as cold as air coming out of the other vents?
Yeah, and I'm a cold kind of person, so it takes a lot for me to heat. For a while, I thought I had a fever. I went to the nurse.
You went to the doctor instead of the dealer.
Oh, yeah. Well, he keeps telling it's me.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the air conditioner, Elaine. I think what's happening is that the heat's on all the time because there's either something wrong with the heater control thing on the dashboard,
uh-huh,
or there's something wrong with the doors. When you turn the heat off and you turn the air conditioner on, there are various doors in the heating unit that close and shut off that hot air.
Mm-hmm.
So that it can't get from beyond the heater core into the passenger compartment. And that's what's wrong with your car.
The door is not closing, and the heat is sneaking by and getting onto the driver's side of the car.
It's just like leaving the oven door open
and
running the air conditioner in your kitchen. Every time you walked by the oven, you'd say, geez, it's hot in here. And you'd be decreasing the efficiency of the air conditioner because you'd have heat pouring out of the oven. You have the same thing going on with your car.
Yeah,
because they told me they said, well, this is so hot because the car runs at 400 degrees.
And
I don't have to feel it in the car.
No, you don't. Tell them they're morons. You're going to go back and tell them, I know what's wrong with the car. All I need is for you guys to fix it. The door for the heater is not closing tight enough, and the heat is sneaking by.
Uh-huh.
And just fix it. That's all. They don't want to do this because it's a rotten job. It means crawling around on your belly like a reptile.
Yeah, well, they should be used to that.
So if they won't do it, take it somewhere else because that's what's wrong with it.
Well, see, that's what I was wondering. Are they just dopey, or is it so much trouble, or are they, you know, they need to be geared into the right direction of what it is. They have no clue.
Well, they don't believe you.
They need to be helped, and you're going to help them.
Yeah. Okay. They don't believe you because they think you're nuts, and you have to prove that you're not nuts, or at least not in this one thing. You might be nuts in other things, Elaine, and I have a suspicion that you probably are.
Thank you. But, I'll take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. But you can at least show them that regarding this particular issue, you're not nuts. And then they'll fix it.
Well, you know, you're going to think I am when I say this, that I've heard this, and you're going to think this is weird, but I actually heard that people have had something in them, maybe metallic or whatever it is,
something that
when they go near or any type of, not necessarily automotive, but any type of appliance.
Yeah, like,
it doesn't work, and I seriously think that's me.
Yeah, I don't think I'd share that with
them. Don't mention that to them.
Yeah.
Don't mention that.
I don't think. Yeah.
No, I won't mention
it.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Hello.
Hello, this is Dennis from Mexico, Missouri.
Dennis!
How are you?
Mexico, Missouri?
Mexico, Missouri, that's right.
I never knew there was such a place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a Paris and a California and a Nevada. There's Louisiana. There's lots of things.
Wow, that's interesting.
Evidently. Where is Mexico in relation to, like, other landmarks we might know? Like,
what landmarks might you know in
St.
Missouri?
Louis.
The Arch?
We would know the Arch.
Springfield.
Well, the Arch would be about it.
The Arch, it's probably 110 miles
north
by northwest.
Oh, I know.
I saw that movie. Cary Grant, Eva Marie Saint.
Yeah,
what a movie. Anyway, what's going on, Dennis?
Well, I've got a 1990 Toyota Corolla. I've had it since it got driven off the trailer.
Excellent.
And it's got 220,000 miles on it. And about 3 months ago, it started jumping out of fifth gear. So I got into a habit of when I was going into a turn, I'd always reach down and hold the gear shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I accelerated, it would stay in.
Yeah.
But now it pops out whenever it wants.
Yeah.
So I've temporarily fixed the problem.
With a rope.
With a bungee cord.
Exactly what I was going to suggest. Now, the people take various approaches to where they attach the other end of that bungee cord.
Right.
Where have you put yours?
Well, actually,
is it in the glove compartment?
No.
Excellent.
It's under the dash. Yes.
Under the dash is the favored location.
But I'm not sure exactly where, because the guy I drive to work with, he always hooks it up under there on his side. So
you don't have any problems. What did you call us for? Everything's fine.
Well, I saw my mechanic, and he said, it sounds like you have a worn fifth gear cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, can I run with this bungee cord to help my fifth gear cluster for another 200,000 miles?
You could drive from Mexico to Paris.
No.
With this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Both of which are in Missouri.
Yeah, Mexico to Paris is only about 30 miles, so...
I mean, do you really need fifth gear?
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
I do need fifth gear because I'm up to 70, 75 on the way to work every day.
Well, how long are you driving at that speed? Most of the 30 miles?
Most of the 30 miles.
Well, I mean, eventually, there's no bungee cord in the world that will keep this thing in fifth gear.
Okay.
And who knows? It may start popping out of the other gears.
Is this an indication? Because I've never replaced anything on the car, clutch or anything like that.
Yeah, well.
Just the usual wear item.
Well, you must be close to needing a clutch.
I may be.
Here's my recommendation. Try to find a secondhand transaxle.
Okay.
And when you do the clutch, have them throw that thing in. And if you can find one for a few $100.
Oh, okay.
Throw the whole thing in there. Something with low mileage, like 180, 185.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
See you, Dennis.
Thanks for the help.
Good luck.
Bye.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joanne from Texarkana, Texas.
Joanne?
Yes.
Texarkana.
Right.
So what's up?
Well, my problem starts out with the fact that I have two children. I've got an 18-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. And my son has had his driver's license for slightly less than 6 months.
Uh-huh.
and my daughter has been through driver's ed and is ready for her driver's license when she turns 16 in about 5 weeks.
Man alive.
Okay. Now, we've got two vehicles here.
Yeah.
We have a 1994 Chevy extended cab pickup, and we have a 1990 Nissan pickup. Both of them can drive the Chevy pretty well, actually. The problem is that it has fallen to me to teach them how to drive the Nissan, which, by the way, has a standard
stick
transmission.
Shift.
Yeah, we
figured
that out already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bit of history on this in that this is a couple of generations back. One of my earliest memories as a child was of my mother learning how to drive a standard, which she didn't learn how to drive till she was well into her 30s. And I remember my father taking her out, and I remember them coming back to the house, and I remember my mother stomping into the house and slamming the door, and then my dad coming into the house and slamming the door, and no talking going on. Okay. I learned how to drive a standard from my husband in the first year of our marriage.
No
which
kidding.
Is not, yeah. And,
did you come into the house and slam the door and all that stuff with him?
Oh, we just sort of screamed in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So this was not a real good experience either. And basically, I like my kids. You know, I do. And I want to help them to learn how to do this.
Uh-huh.
And the problem we're having is that it's not an inability to shift gears. We haven't even got that far yet. Now, I'm usually a fairly calm person, but these herky-jerky starts from the stop position...
Uh-huh.
I am about to import a full-time chiropractor into the house. I mean, we're talking bad here. We can't even get it into a rolling position. And I have told them over and over again, apply the gas gently while slowly releasing the clutch. But it is not working. And how do you do this?
Wow. Well, having recently done this myself, my son is 17, and he... got his driver's license for automatic transmission. And, of course, the minute he saw me drive home with my Fiat Spider with the top down, he started salivating all over the place. And he said, ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah.
So he said, teach me how to drive a stick shift.
He wasn't salivating. He's blowing chunks.
So we get in the car, and for the next half hour or so, he did exactly what you say your kids are doing, and we bounced all over the streets. I was mostly laughing because it was so ridiculous.
And the truth is that there is nobody that learns to drive stick shift that doesn't do exactly the same thing. Actually, I gave Alex his first stick shift
lesson. Yes, you did.
On the venerable...
Colt Vista. Yeah.
The way I approach it...
I saw you puking that day.
If you're interested in pursuing this, is I don't allow the student to touch the gas pedal.
Yeah. Work on that
one
for a while.
We go into a parking lot, and the whole first half hour is spent either giving dope slaps or insisting that they get the car going from a dead stop by using the clutch only and not using the gas pedal.
How do you do that? I mean, will it go?
Sure it'll go. What the student quickly discovers... is that the first 3 inches of movement off the floor really does nothing. So what the student begins to figure out is that I can get to this engagement point very quickly by lifting my foot those first 2 or 3 inches very, very rapidly. But when I get to the point where something starts to happen, then I've got to slow down and do it slowly. Otherwise, the car stalls. And once the student gets accomplished at this, then I allow the student to use the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And after that, I'll actually get in the car with them and drive around some. But if you try that approach, you may, and that will stop a lot of the whiplashing.
Okay.
If you don't let them use the gas.
Okay.
Don't forget, you have the added advantage in Texarkana that you have no hills. So you can do almost anything, and you can manage to drive a stick shift.
Okay.
Plus, they can employ the Texas rolling stop, so they have to make very few starts from a dead stop. So once they get the thing moving, they're basically all set.
They're all set, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
See you, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Good luck.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll tell you what to do if you find yourself in urgent need of a puzzler.
Oh, it sounds painful.
Yeah, it is. We'll be back in a minute.
Ain't got no sense, got little or no concern. Science says curve ahead, you're going to crash.
crash and burn. My hands are on the wheel, mine's in a fall. Cause what we do is sure's against the law. And driving under the influence of your love, this whole thing's crazy, but I can't get it.
And even though Carl Castle starts unloading his entire NPR cufflink collection on eBay whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the no new a puzzler.
Mm.
Yes, right indeed. The puzzler is taking its annual summer hiatus, and if you can't go another week without a puzzler, aside from getting a life, we'd recommend you head over to cartalk.com and check out this week's arch rival puzzler. Or is it archival?
Arch rival. And if you happen to have a puzzler that you think my brother can use in the fall, I'm sure he would love to hear from you.
Oh, just send it to me at Car Talk Plaza.
Less than lousy puzzler division.
It doesn't even have to be lousy. doesn't even have to be that good.
Better than lousy.
Box 3500. Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or email me your puzzle suggestion from cartalk.com.
Cool.
If you'd like to call us about anything, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Paul from Bartow, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Paul. From where, Pennsylvania?
Bartow. It's a large rural route about 15 miles south of Allentown, 45 miles northwest of Philadelphia.
Got it.
A lot of loving and gentle people in the rural route.
And you're among them.
Yes, very much.
You sound like a loving and gentle person.
Is it possible that I would have driven through Bartow if I was going to York, Pennsylvania?
You might have, yes. It's, you know,
feel
Allentown
lost
to Pottstown.
Sort of around there, eh? I think I did drive through Bartow one time.
You may have even bumped into Paul.
I may have.
Could well be.
Are you about 5'10",
no,
brownish hair?
6 foot even.
Yeah, no, it's a different Paul. Okay. So what's in your mind, Paul?
Well, I know you fellows are experts on cars, but are you as good on trucks and cattle trailers?
Cattle trailers, yes. Trucks, no.
Cattle trailers is one of our specialties.
Okay.
I just finished a seminar, as a matter of fact, on cattle trailers. So I'm right up on...
Right. Cattle trailers you know and love. So we're ready. Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a cattle trailer that holds about 7 or 8 cows, and it's has electric brakes, and we pull it with a pickup. And one of the problems, or repeated problems, with the brakes is that... sometimes they grab, other times they don't connect. We've taken it to the garage several times, and they fix it, but yet they don't fix it.
Yeah.
And these brakes are operated by a servo that's attached to your brake pedal.
Right, it's electric, attached to the brake pedal.
Right.
And the latest problem is when you put on the four-way flashers, the brakes engage every time the light flashes.
Excellent.
And that becomes a real problem when you're going up a hill and have to put on the flashers at 40 miles an hour. It seems to slow you down a good bit when you're climbing the hill.
Right, because the brakes are grabbing, releasing.
Correct.
I'm sure that we can help you with this if you answer just one small question for me.
Okay, great.
How do electric brakes work?
My impression is that our garage doesn't know either.
Well, I can honestly say, and you know me, I'm an honest guy, I have never seen electric brakes in my life.
I don't know how electric brakes work either in actuality.
But let's guess. That's how we do it with other stuff.
We know that they have to work like regular brakes, and they must push a shoe against a drum of some
kind.
And they're operated by a motor of some kind.
Is a motor like in the wheel?
Yeah.
I mean, it could also operate.
Motor in the trailer or in the truck?
No, in the trailer.
In the trailer.
I don't know how they work.
You figure they're hydraulic?
No, they're not hydraulic. They're electromechanical.
So what's in the wheel instead of a cylinder? A little electric motor?
A screw.
A screw.
It's irrelevant how they work.
It doesn't matter. Ah, excellent. We're going to give them an answer without knowing how they work.
Right.
Okay, Paul, this is going to be good. Get a pencil.
Yeah, I got it.
I can hardly wait to hear this.
I'll pass it on to our friendly garage.
Well, no, I mean, the key issue here is that the emergency flashers are turning on the brakes.
Correct.
Somehow or another, current is getting fed to those brakes when the flashers are on, so it seems pretty clear that you've got a wire crossed.
And that's funny. I thought you had a wire crossed.
And the other problem, and I think the where the problem is perhaps, is in the brake lights. Because in addition to this thing operating the brakes, it also has to turn on the brake lights, which are turned on by your brake lights. Isn't there a wiring harness that's hanging out from the back of your truck?
Surely.
That you plug into?
Right. That's the way it works.
So the problem's in... he's giving me that look. He's giving me that look. It's pretty clear that we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I want to say, though, Paul, it's been awfully nice talking to you.
And you sound like a wonderful, caring...
You
individual.
Do.
Why can't these cows walk to their destination? I mean, what the hell's wrong with them?
No, because then they'll get too muscular and then
they get skinny.
Oh, yeah, we don't want that to happen.
No.
No exercise for the cows. You don't have Steermasters for steer. Steermasters.
And what are you doing with these cows when you transport them anyway?
Take them to other farmers.
Oh, what are they? Oh, never mind. I don't want to know what they do with them. Milk them. That's right.
That's good. Okay. Paul, we don't have any idea.
we don't have the answer. But
okay.
I do believe that your wiring problem is in the brake light circuit because the emergency flasher bulbs, the emergency flashers are also operating on that same filament.
Right.
And somehow or another, you are getting current fed through the emergency flasher circuit, which is also the brake light circuit.
Right.
Of course, you don't notice the problem occurring when you step in the brakes because the brake lights are getting energized and so are the brakes.
Correct.
But what's happening is you are somehow energizing the brakes. You know what it could be?
What?
It could be something as simple as a bad bulb.
Yeah.
A bad bulb?
Oh.
Bulb.
I was working
okay.
on that.
A brake light bulb.
Okay.
But here's the way to try to figure this out. Take the bulbs out.
Surely.
Of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
The brake light bulbs, and they're probably the same bulbs that operate the four-way flashers. Remove them and see if the problem goes away.
Okay, good idea.
Try that. If that doesn't work, take the cows for a walk.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
See
Thanks,
you, Paul.
Paul. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Now, are we just dreaming here? But I had the sense. Paul is the kind of guy you could sit down with and have a cigar and a cup of coffee. He sounded like a wonderful person.
Yeah, you could enjoy milking a cow with Paul.
You could.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ann from Montrose, Colorado.
Ann. Montrose.
Yes.
Where is Montrose?
It's in Colorado.
It's on the eastern slope of Colorado.
Eastern slope.
The east coast of Colorado?
The east coast, yeah.
Eastern slope.
Oh.
That's on our side of the Continental Divide.
Right.
Okay, we got it.
Okay.
Okay. So what's up, Ann?
Well, I have a 1984 Nissan 200SX.
Mm-hmm.
It's got over 170,000 miles on it.
Great.
And there's no problem with it right now, and I need for something to be wrong with it.
Why?
Sure, we can handle that.
Okay.
What would you like? You want body work? What do we want? Engine damage? What?
I want a little engine problem so I can take it into my mechanic.
What? You got the hots for the mechanic?
I have a crush on my mechanic.
Ah!
And for the last year, he and I have been working on my car.
Yeah.
And getting it all together. And I'm always the last one to pick up my car, and I bring a little dinner, and we spend some time together.
Isn't that cute?
This is great.
Well, I found out through a mutual friend that he likes me, but he thinks I'm about 15 years younger than him, and I'm only 3 years younger.
Oh.
And my car is not breaking down now. He's got it so working so perfectly that I had this great idea that if something went wrong, I could take it in,
yeah,
accidentally leave my driver's license.
Oh.
Oh, you are a devious little devil.
I am. And then I could call him and say, did I leave my license? And he could see that I'm really close to his age.
Oh.
And maybe we can get this ball rolling a little more than what it has been.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So there's really nothing wrong with my car. But
so in a year's time, let me get this right. The last time he worked on your car,
mm-hmm,
It was a year ago.
No, recently.
He's worked on it on and off for the last year.
Yeah. On and off.
It's been really great. The dear little thing's been breaking down on the interval of every 3 weeks.
Oh.
Except for the last time he fixed it. And we've replaced everything, and we've put in everything, and we've changed everything, and so it's not even time to get the oil changed.
So now it's perfect, and you have no more excuse to go
so
see him.
So this guy has a little shop out there in Montrose?
Well, he's another town away from me, but yes, he has a little shop, and he has a good reputation.
What's his name?
Well, I don't want to say, because it's a small town.
Oh, well, hey. Give us his initials.
This is just between...
B.H.
B.H.?
Mm-hmm.
This is just between you and us.
Yeah, no one's listening.
Nobody will know.
B.H. And where's his shop?
To the station.
No, we have to get this background information. We do this with every caller.
Okay.
What's the name of his shop?
It's called B&T Auto.
B&T Auto.
Okay. I'm the only one in
Is that O-T-T-O or A-U-T-O?
We'll start with an A.
No, but has he given you any indication that he's interested at all? I mean, we don't want to get embarrassed here.
He has
given some indication, and you feel strongly that he would make a move.
If
he thought that your age, that the age difference was not as large as he thinks it is.
That's true. I do.
Uh-huh.
When the first time he kissed me, it was so great. I just kind of...
Wait a minute now. wait a minute.
Was this like in the grease pit? I mean, where did this happen? You showed up a little bit late to pick up the car. You had a little din-dins ready.
Uh-huh.
And one thing led to another.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it.
But
this is romantic, isn't it?
It is romantic, but that's as far as it's gone, and I thought if he finds out, my age is really close to him.
Oh, so you think that he sort of feels guilty about this? He's like, what do they call it? Robbing the cradle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how old does he think you are?
I think he thinks that I'm probably around 30 years old.
Aha.
Oh. And he, mm-hmm. and he thinks that's too young for him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's this guy's basic problem?
Oh, my wife is 15 years younger than I am.
And she looks every minute of it.
But it didn't stop me from putting the heavy moves on her.
Yeah, it was that groping that finally got her, wasn't it?
I think he's just a decent guy, and he just doesn't feel that that's right.
Well, he doesn't want to mix business with pleasure. I mean, he...
No, wait, are you supposed to know something about cars? Does he think you know something about cars?
No.
You're just going in there and... Mm-hmm. So I mean, pull off a spark plug wire.
Okay. That will... I can at least chug into the shop?
Oh, sure. Okay. Pull off two or three of them.
You only have four.
Pull
off one. That'll make it run really lousy.
It'll make it run lousy, no power, and you'll say, hey, B.
Okay.
Or Ben. You'll say Ben.
Okay.
No, Bob.
No, Ben.
Bob.
You're way off.
Bill.
It's like a southern nickname, but...
Bubba! You say, hey, Bubba. It's not right.
Beavis?
So this won't hurt if I just pull it off, like get about 2 blocks away from the shop and pull it off and go in and say, my car doesn't work.
Well, no, I would be make it more believable. Do it early in the morning and drive it around for a while so you can accurately explain the symptoms.
Okay.
Otherwise, if he thinks it's contrived.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand how... Oh, and I see. Then you're going to leave the... How the hell are you going to leave your driver's license? It's going to fall out of your pocketbook, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
It's going to fall out of your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Do that.
Okay. And
Well, the other thing you could do is you could have a birthday card that someone had sent you was sitting on the dashboard. You know.
Oh, what a great idea. My birthday is next week.
Oh!
Oh! Yeah.
Invite him to your birthday party, Ann.
Uh-huh.
Say, I'm having a surprise birthday party for myself.
Uh-huh.
How would you like to come?
I'm having a surprise 43rd birthday party.
But, you know, I like this idea of just the birthday card. That and my driver's
That's subtle.
Together would work and the spark plug. Now, tell me, where's the...
Yeah, you might want to staple your birth certificate to it.
I don't want to be that obvious, but tell me...
No, you are. Don't worry. I mean, I hate to ask the question because I know it'll get me in trouble. I was hoping my brother would ask the question because he's accustomed to getting himself in trouble. But
what?
Are all women this devious when it comes to amour? I mean, this is...
We are.
You are, okay.
We are, and you guys should be grateful we are. It would be dull.
What, men aren't devious?
Men are.
Oh,
no,
you
no,
bet. Pretty,
most men are pretty direct. They breathe heavily, grunt a lot. You know, it's...
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, how many times have you stood outside someplace that you knew somebody was going to be coming out of in 2 or 3 hours? I mean, how many times have you done that?
And how many times have we sat inside 2 or 3 hours just waiting?
Exactly, and then you just happen to be walking by. No, I just happened to be walking by for the 413th time.
Well, no, that's not devious. That is...
persevering.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's perseverance. That's not...
Well, I think what Anna's doing is persevering and devious. Very devious.
Yeah, both.
But hey...
Yeah. Good work, Ann.
But whatever works, as they say. Hey, good luck, and we will call old Bubba and try to help you out.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
Bye.
Oh, my God. Well, you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour, and I do mean wasted. Listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Zanzibar Caviar Steak Tartare Malamar Power Bar and Cheap Cigar Dinner Car, come as you are, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Buzzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Old Tekashawa. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our anger management counselor is Tara... Oh, no. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropov. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and a 2-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin... in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the schwitzing tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 830, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available by calling 888-CAR-JUNK or at the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com, where you can learn about an easy way to get rid of your old car while helping your favorite radio station.
Great timing. I always get rid of my old cars in the summer.
And why is that, pray tell?
Well, you ever tried driving a car into a frozen river? It's not easy to do that.
Support your local NPR station and get a tax deduction with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Info is available all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the RCA dog foams at the mouth whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.